Today, we bring you the two candidates running for Congress in the 4th District, Julie Hall and Jake Auchincloss. Now, Joe Kennedy currently holds the seat, but chose not to seek re-election while pursuing an unsuccessful bid for the U.S. Senate. The district includes a wide range of communities from Brookline, Newton, Wellesley, up in Greater Boston, to the southern part of the state, encompassing Attleboro, Taunton, parts of Fall River, to name a few. So for the rest of today's show, we're going to host a friendly, if competitive, conversation between the two candidates. Let's introduce them to you now. Jake Auchincloss is the Democrat in the race. He was a captain in the United States Marine Corps, serving from 2010 to 2014. Since 2015, he served on Newton's City Council, where he's chair of the Public Safety and Transportation Committee, and he's also worked at a cybersecurity startup and with Liberty Mutual. Jake Auchincloss, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, Julie Hall is the Republican in the race. Hall served in the Air Force for 30 years, retiring as a colonel in 2009. While in the Air Force, she served in leadership roles for health clinics and as an executive for a healthcare system. After retiring from the Air Force, she served as a state counselor in Attleboro. And in 2014, she was named Massachusetts Outstanding Woman Veteran of the Year. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay, briefly, here's how this is going to work. I'm not going to use a formal clock, but I am asking each side to keep responses to any particular question to a minute. I will pose questions to individual candidates as well as some questions to both of you. And if I address a question specifically to one candidate, the other candidate may request 30 seconds to respond after the candidate to whom the question was addressed has given their answer. Now, we flipped a coin before the show. Jake will give the first answer to the first question. Julie will deliver the first closing statement at the end of the discussion. So let's get started. I'm going to give an opening question. It is the same for both of you. Jake will answer it first. And the question is, what is the single most important issue facing the 4th District in Massachusetts? And why are you the best person suited to address it? Jake, you first.
The single most important issue is COVID response and recovery. After 4 years of this Trump administration, this country is weaker, sicker, and poorer than when we started. And perhaps most devastatingly, we're more divided than we have been at any time since the Civil War. As a Marine officer, I commanded Americans from all walks of life overseas. As a city councilor, I've worked together with friends and neighbors and fellow elected officials to make progress on transportation and housing. And as a member of Congress, I'm going to be someone who brings people together to get things done. And to get to the other side of this pandemic, we need to bring together people to put science in the driver's seat and to make real progress on testing, contact tracing, vaccine development and distribution, and generally allowing expertise to make decisions as opposed to the showboating that we've seen from the Trump administration. I'm going to be a member of Congress who listens to science.
Okay, Julie Hall, same question to you, and let me know if you need me to repeat it.
No, I think I'm pretty good with this. Well, you know, one of the things that we do is we are focusing on the virus. And I recently read an article that, you know, public health is much more than the virus. We need to be looking at people getting back to work. We need to be looking at mental health of people. So I totally agree. We need to get people back to work as soon as we possibly can. We need to get the kids back to school. You know, we need to get into some kind of normalcy. So when we, you know, if we think about doing things at a federal level, one of the biggest things I would be looking for right now, and I'm seeing this as I go around and talk to my constituents out there, there's a lot of mental health issues that are already starting to crop up. So that would be one of the things that I think we need to start looking at right away. You know, people had to see their parents and other loved ones pass away without being able to grieve. And I think that's going to cause us a lot of concerns. We have children, you know, that have autistic children that need structure.
So I'm going to ask you to wrap it up there if you could.
And they don't have that structure. They're not able to go back to school. I'm hearing from parents every day that these children are having difficulties.
Okay, I'm sorry, so Julie. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm gonna stop you there just because we're trying to keep responses to about
a
minute. So
I'm going to
stop you there, Julie. Julie, are you able to hear me?
No. So we need to get our small businesses shored up. And I've spent a lot of time speaking to the small businesses around the area, in particular, the restaurants.
So, Julie, I'm going to
hit so hard. One of the things I do like about what's going on right now at the federal government level.
Okay, so this is live radio, folks. You're hearing it happen right now. I don't think Julie can hear me in response, so we're going to take a quick second here, bring her mic down, see if we can check in with her, and see if we can make sure that she's able to hear me back. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask Jake a question, and I will make sure that Julie gets equal time on an equal question once we have her sound back up. Jake, I want to stay on the coronavirus. The state had more than 1,000 new cases of the virus 2 days in a row over the weekend. We are now seeing, you know, the highest one-day increases since May as of last Thursday. 77 cities and towns are in the high-risk red zone. Now, you have said that economic recovery will come when we have a coordinated coronavirus recovery. Cases are rising. We do not have a statewide coordinated approach. School districts are making their own decisions about reopening. Cities and towns are making different choices about when and how to either progress or roll back in the state's economic reopening plan. How can that economic recovery happen? And if elected, would you push the governor to enact a more coordinated or centralized response this fall and winter?
We cannot have a safe reopening of the economy until we have coronavirus under control. And that seems to be a fundamental disagreement between Democrats and Republicans. The Trump administration's catastrophic mishandling of this virus has cratered our economy. It's shuttered our schools. It's cost almost 250,000 Americans their lives. And what we need to do is have strong federal-state coordination for testing of asymptomatic people using PCR. We need to have a contact tracing program that is well-funded and well-organized. We need to have mask requirements and targeted lockdown strategies where appropriate. And then we've got to have vaccine development and distribution that can scale up rapidly. Until we do that, we're not going to be able to safely reopen this economy, get people back to work, get kids back to school. And unfortunately, this administration has ignored science. What we need to do is put science back in the driver's seat and listen to public health experts on the path forward, because we know the right levers to use here for public health, but what we need is a competent, coordinated political response. I'll be a bridge between Washington and the State House on that.
And at the state level, which is really under the governor's control now, do you think there needs to be more coordination, Jake?
I think there needs to be more coordination between the federal government and state governments, and between government in general and the scientific and business communities as well. What we have seen is a lot of actors at federal, state, and local level, a lot of actors in business doing their part, but it's not always sticking together perfectly. And I'm somebody who, throughout the course of my career, has worked with people to solve problems, and I can do that again as a member of Congress.
Okay, Julie Hall, do we have you back?
You do. Thank you.
I'm sorry we were having technical difficulties there, Julie. So just so you know, while we were reconnecting with you, I was asking Jake a question about the coronavirus. I'm going to ask you one now. I want to talk about how you've talked about the virus and measures for responding to it. You've compared the virus to a super flu, and you've said that you will wear a mask to protect your community and keep businesses open, but you've also raised questions about the efficacy of masks. We know scientific journals such as Nature have been clear that the research shows masks can save lives, reduce transmission. The coronavirus is more deadly than the flu. So I want to check in. What is your official position on mask usage and on the threat of the virus to the people of Massachusetts right now?
Sure. Well, I just have been reading up on this, and I read an article from April 2020 from the New England Medical Journal. And so there's been a lot of discussions when people say, the experts say. And I think that's the difficulty. You know, I'm reading New England Medical Journal, and so there's some there's controversy there. However, I have said I do believe that the mask does help with some of this, but you also have to do the hand washing and all of that other stuff. Now, when you're outside, when I'm outside and I'm not around anybody, yes, I'm not going to wear a mask if I'm not around anybody. If I happen to walk by somebody, I'm going to make sure that I stay away from that person. But I do wear the mask when I go into an enclosed environment, definitely.
And do you feel we are in a different stage now than we were in the spring? And what urgency do you feel around things like hygiene practices, social distancing, people, you know, not gathering over the holidays, et cetera, during this time?
you know, I'm a person who thinks that people need to try to get back and do things back in their life the best they can and staying as safe as they can doing it. We've got a lot of direction and guidance that have come out. But I think that when the difficulty, and I expressed this a little bit earlier, it's causing a lot of other problems. You know, we have people that now are losing their jobs. We have people that are having mental health issues. So, again, I would like to see as much normalcy, if I can say that word, of us being able to get back into the life that we know while being safe at the same time.
Thank you. Now, because you both made this your top issue at the beginning, I'm going to stay on this subject a little bit longer. I've got a question that I'm going to ask both of you. Julie, you'll answer first, and then Jake. Congress has been unable to pass or compromise on a second coronavirus relief package for months. The first package was introduced in March. Now we're in October. You're both running to be in the House. So what would you do to get a deal passed for more stimulus money, and what would be the top priority in terms of who or what gets that money? Julie, if you could give me a minute of response.
Sure. Now, you know, I've worked with different groups before. I worked with the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, and I say this all the time. Those are three separate groups with very, very distinct ideologies. And I was able to come up and help us get a joint command. So what I do is I look for things that we have in common. So as we look for things that we have in common, those are things like we've got to get people back to work. We've got to get people back to work. I want them, and they need to be able to get a stimulus bill going. We have people that are out there that, you know, are going. One of the things we talk about is food insecurity, people not being able to get food. So things are bad. We need to get the money. We need to get another stimulus package down here. But, again, we need to get those businesses going. When people work, they make money. When they make money, they spend money. And all of those go to taking care of the environment and taking care of the economy. Now, the last thing...
I'm going to stop you there. Sorry, Julie. That's a minute, so I'm just going to stop you there. Thanks for the first part of that answer. Jake, same question to you on getting another relief package passed and what the top priority in it would be. 1 minute, please.
Well, my opponent is adopting the Trump tactic of focusing purely on the economy and ignoring the coronavirus, which just doesn't work. We've got to solve the coronavirus before we can safely reopen the economy. And any relief package, I think, has to have three core pillars to it. First, we need flexible relief for state and local budgets. Fiscal years 2021 and 2022 are going to be very tough for cities like Fall River, Taunton, and Attleboro. And they need more flexible relief, and they need to be able to spend the money they already have for programming that they have identified as a priority. Number two, we've got to scale up testing. We've got to have enterprise-level PCR testing for asymptomatic people across all 34 cities and towns in the district, including and especially the public schools. My opponent talks about getting people back to work. Well, a lot of folks can't get back to work until their kids can get back to school. So let's get kids back to school safely by doing ubiquitous testing. And then finally, we need direct relief to working families and small businesses.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to move on now. I want to talk to each of you a little bit about how you talk about yourselves as candidates. Jake, I'll stay with you for a minute. After your primary campaign, you defined yourself as a pragmatic progressive. The eight other Democrats who ran in the primary cast you as the most conservative of that pool of candidates. And you worked for Republican Governor Charlie Baker's campaign in 2014. So what specifically does pragmatic progressive mean? And how does that sync with arguably a pretty progressive agenda among Democrats in the Commonwealth?
Well, I've been a strong supporter of Obama and Clinton and Biden, and I've also been a supporter of Governor Charlie Baker. And I think he's done a good job of handling this pandemic in the last year, and I'll certainly be a strong partner to him in Washington for COVID relief and recovery. I also recognize that the Massachusetts 4th seat is a proud progressive seat held by Joe Kennedy and Barney Frank. And voters can expect me to be a champion for progressive causes that we deeply hold. The Supreme Court is almost certain now to have a 6-3 conservative majority. We have to have a national bill to protect women's access to safe and legal abortions. We need to fight climate change and transition to a clean energy economy. And we must address longstanding inequalities in our communities and combat racial injustice. These are progressive causes that voters are going to see me champion in the House of Representatives.
Okay, thanks for that. Julie, I'll turn to you now. You've called yourself a Julie Hall Republican, rejecting the label of a Trump Republican. You did vote for the president. You have backed up his policies, praised him for his coronavirus response, his approach to the military, his Supreme Court picks. And the Mass GOP has voiced strong support for the president, going so far as to replace the picture of Governor Baker on their homepage with one of Donald Trump. So I want to ask you, are there any specific policy areas where you believe the sitting president has gotten it wrong?
You know, I want to go back to my opponents. You know, I want people to know that, you know, where I stand. I think that people are very comfortable with where I stand and what my policies are all about, unlike my opponent. Now, I want to say he's been a Republican, an independent, and a Democrat in 6 years. He's a flip-flopper. You know, people can change their mind on certain policies, but to change their whole ideological views, to be honest with you, I am hearing time and time again, people just don't trust you, Jake.
I'm going to give Jake a second to respond to that in a minute. But before I do, Julie, I want to come back and ask you again the question, are there any specific policy areas where you believe the sitting president has gotten it wrong?
You know, I think that he should have told people from the beginning. I know people said, oh, he said, I didn't want to tell people because I didn't want to create a panic. And I think that people should have been told.
Thank you for that. And Jake, I'm going to give you a quick moment to respond. And Julie, I'll give you one more chance to respond there too, and then we'll move on. Jake.
Well, I think we've heard from my opponent, one, a strong allegiance to Trump and his dangerous and hateful agenda. And two, the same tactics that he uses, which is ad hominem attacks and fear mongering. I think voters in the Massachusetts 4th and Americans in general are tired of being scared. I think what we're hungry for is decency and unity in our politics. I think we're hungry to make real substantive change together on issues like COVID response, like racial justice, protecting reproductive rights, fighting climate change, passing universal background checks for gun safety. These are issues where we have to work together and not sling mud.
Great. Thank you. And Julie, I'll give you 30 seconds more to respond there. I just want to even this out, and then we're going to go on to the next topic.
Sure. Yeah, you know, and I think that the difficulty is, again, those are all wonderful words to say, but nobody knows where you stand. You've changed your, you know, you've changed your party. I mean, come on, you've changed your party from Republican to independent to now a Democrat. You've even tried to change where you stand in that party. And frankly, I have a difficult time knowing where you stand. You stand for nothing.
So let's pick up back up on some policy issues then. Jake, I'll give you the first answer to this question. Actually, I'm going to ask you two separate questions. Jake, you've publicly stated that you support demilitarizing the police. You wrote about it in an op-ed for WBUR. Do you support reallocation of other funding from the police to other services, such as mental health response or substance abuse treatment? And are you in favor of changing things like qualified immunity laws? If you give me about a minute for response, please.
Yeah, I'm the chair of public safety in Newton, and in that role, I've strongly supported our independent review of the Newton Police Department to evaluate how functions and funding work. I think it would be totally appropriate to transfer certain functions and appropriate funding to different departments to address mental health or traffic safety or other areas where maybe there are better equipped agencies to do it. I do not support defunding the police. I think we need to just reimagine public safety, and that is a project that each of the 34 cities and towns I hope will take on in the coming years, and I'll certainly be an ally to them as a member of Congress. I also want to just address my opponent's remarks and just make very clear where I stand on some core issues.
Jake, about 15 seconds.
Absolutely. I believe that we need to prioritize combating racial injustice in this country. I support Cory Booker's baby bonds bill on that front. I believe that we need to codify women's access to safe and legal abortions at the national level. I believe that we need to fight climate change and transition to a clean energy economy. These are core principles of mine.
Thank you. So, Julie, you have said you're pro-law and order and are behind the police 100%.
Yeah.
You've signed a pledge not to support police reform that would end qualified immunity, defund the police, or create a certification board that didn't have a majority of law enforcement officers. Some version of all of those things are in consideration, either in the city of Boston, at the State House, or both. Are there police reforms you do feel are necessary in the Commonwealth, and how would you bring them about? You've got about a minute.
Sure. Sure. I believe that there should be some kind of licensing. And I'm going to go back to my background, which is in health administration. We have a licensing process for all our healthcare providers. And in doing that, we're able to deal with what we call impaired providers. And we have a whole process for going through that, identifying them, being able to rehabilitate them. And if they cannot be rehabilitated, then they lose their license. So I see that one particular item as something that can be used with the police force. And I think people that do get licensed, I would hope that most of the police officers out there, would be looking for that. It brings, being licensed professionals is something that brings prestige to an organization also. And I have been endorsed by the Fraternal Order of the Police and the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police. So I do have a strong support from those organizations.
We've been speaking with the two candidates running for Congress in the 4th Congressional District, Julie Hall and Jake Auchincloss. We have time for one lightning round question before final responses. So Jake and Julie, I'm going to ask you the same question. There'll be 30 seconds each for response. Massachusetts is facing a housing affordability crisis. What is your top priority in addressing it in your district? Julie, 30 seconds.
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to have more affordable housing in the area. We're starting to build some of that. One of the things that I was able to do here in Attleboro, we have what's called a tiered income level housing. We were able to take buildings of opportunity and work with the labor and work with actually the historical society, because a lot of these buildings here in Attleboro are older buildings. We were able to refurbish them. I call them reuse buildings, but I think having mixed tiered opportunities is the best way to go.
Thank you. And Jake, 30 seconds.
An issue near and dear to my heart. I've been on the Land Use Committee in the City Council for 5 years fighting for affordable housing. We need to adopt elements of Elizabeth Warren's housing policy that uses carrots and sticks to liberalize zoning in cities and towns so we can build more housing. We've got to expand funding for Section 8 low-income housing. And we've got to make the federal program that allows low-income renters to earn equity in their homes more robust.
I really appreciate both of you taking time today on a short show. There's just never enough time to cover everything, but I think we've gotten to a lot. I now want to leave time for each of you to have a 1 minute closing statement. As I said at the beginning, we flipped a coin and Julie Hall will be giving her closing statement first. This is Julie Hall, the Republican candidate in the race. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not a professional politician. I'm an ordinary person. I don't come from a wealthy family like my opponent or a famous family, but I do come from a good, solid middle-class family, right from the heart of the district. We are the people that get up every day. We go to work. We take care of our families. We struggle to get ahead. My parents, they both worked. And these are the people that are most negatively impacted by increased taxes. We are the people that have been neglected for so many years, the rest of the district. And I am running to represent them. It's time for them to have a voice, finally. And I don't have to pretend that I'm like them. I am them. And I'm from here, and I want to be the voice. I also want to be a conservative voice. We haven't had a conservative voice in this area for so long. So please, vote for Julie Hall on November 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Julie Hall. I'll turn now to Jake Auchincloss, the Democratic candidate in this race. Jake, 1 minute for your closing remark.
I appreciate you having me on. And yes, it was a short interview, but I think we heard the most substantive element in it, in that my opponent does not have a single substantive disagreement with Donald Trump. By contrast, I think that this president has been the worst in American history, who has left this country weaker, sicker, poorer, and more divided. And I'm going to work with a Biden administration to help us heal and help us rebuild so that we can confront our longstanding racial injustices, so that we can fight climate change and transition to a clean energy economy, so that we can protect women's access to safe and legal abortions, and of course, so that we can put science in the driver's seat and get to the other side of this COVID pandemic so we can safely reopen our economy and get kids back into the schools.
All right. Well, listen, I want to start by apologizing to both candidates and the listeners for the technical difficulties we had at the beginning. Thank you, both of you, for staying with us through that and participating in what has been an enlightening discussion. It's been a pleasure to moderate this between the two of you. Let me thank you each, Julie Hall, who is running as a Republican for the 4th District. Julie, thanks for joining
us. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
and Jake Auchincloss, the Democrat in the race. Jake, thank you, too, for joining us.
A pleasure to be on.
And a reminder, listeners, we will have the entire debate on tonight again at 10 p.m. That's when Radio Boston airs again. We'll also have it for you online at our website, radioboston.org. Listen, also, if you want to learn more about what's on the ballot this November, if you have an Amazon device at home, you can try out WBUR's interactive guide to this year's ballots questions. It's a new tool we're using as a companion to our political coverage. All you have to do is ask your device to open Mass Ballot Guide.